नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरी बोल।
सो वी हैव कम टू अ वेरी वेरी ब्यूटिफुल प्लेस कॉल्ड एज ब्रजेश्वर महादेव। रामचरित प्रभु उसको इको दिया क्या आपने? As you can see, the way the place is, where the road is, you cannot come here with big yatras. Very clear? Because the road is narrow and where the buses will stand, where people will come. So only in small groups when we can come to this place. This is called as Brajeshwar Mahadev, and very next to that is called Padarvan, and next to that is Rabadvan. Like that, there are many, many small forests. So the story goes like this. What is Radharani's father's name? Vrishbhanu Maharaj has performed tapasya over here. It is his tapasthali, the place where Vrishbhanu Maharaj worshipped Lord Shiva. Many people say that he worshipped Lord Shiva in many places. One more place is there called Kameshwar Mahadev. Where is that place? Kamyavan. Kamyavan is in Rajasthan, about 15 to 20 kilometers from here. There's a place called Kameshwar Mahadev, where he also worshipped Lord Shiva. And there it is said that he worshipped Lord Shiva there to get Radharani as a daughter. But this place is a specific tapasthali. It's mentioned over here, see. Tapo Bhumi of Vrishbhanu Maharaj. So, being in the middle of the fields, the farmer was plowing the field only 30-40 years back, not many years back. And while he was plowing his field, every time he would come at this point, he would get something stuck to his plow. His plow would get something somewhere stuck. So 2-3 times he did that, and then he came to know that something is there. So he stopped and he started looking, and he found a Shivlinga. So he thought, "Abhi, Shivlinga is there inside the field. Who will come to see? Who will come to darshan? So better I remove the Shivlinga and place it somewhere near where people can come. And the field can be where the field is, and Shiva can be where he can be." So he started digging and digging and digging. And as he went on digging, the Shivlinga was there only. He could not find the end of Shivlinga. So he went further digging, further digging, further digging. And it became dark. So he thought, "The remaining digging I'll do tomorrow." But quite a lot of digging he had done. And still he found the Shivlinga is continuous. It's not ending only. So when he slept in the night, Lord Shiva came in his dream. And he said, "I am Brajeshwar Mahadev. This is the place where I was. And this is the place where Radharani's father worshipped me. Somehow by their mercy, I was given part in their Leela." It's like a drama, no? You have got a role to play. So Lord Shiva found himself very fortunate to be in the role of Brajeshwar Mahadev, where in the Krishna Leela, Radha Leela, he was worshipped by Radharani's father. So he said, "Please do not remove me from here. I don't want to shift from here to any other place." He said, "Even if you dig all the way till Patal Loka, you will not find the end of this Shivlinga." So it's quite startled. He woke up in the morning and then he made temple right in the field only. This is Brajeshwar Mahadev. Very beautiful place, because you find here such an atmosphere. All holy trees that you know of and you don't know of, all those holy trees are here. So you will feel a very different atmosphere here, very different spiritual vibration over here, which is very soothing, very peaceful, very satisfying to the soul. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Monkeys are one of the pleasing tools of Maya to distract the yatris from Krishna. Very sweet, very entertaining, very much wanting, very much involving, and very much taking tension away like that. But they are also part of Maya because they take your attention away from Krishna. Is that right? And they are so powerful and potential that any time, in any situation, they can take attention away from Krishna. So it is not easy to focus on Krishna, even in Vrindavan. When I met Brijbasis, they told that where Krishna is, there is Maya also with fullest of most powerful strength. Not where Krishna is not there. So then they asked me, where was Kamsa? Kamsa was where Krishna was. Where was Putana? Where Krishna was. Where was Trinavarta? Where Krishna was. Not in Bombay, not in Madras. Wherever Krishna was, there all these demons were. So, Maya is most powerfully present where there is Krishna. And our goal is, what did the Brijbasi boys do? Whatever happened, they remain focused to Krishna, focused on Krishna. Whatever happened, when the rains came and somebody came and stole them away, but they never left Krishna. That is why they were successful. That is why no demon or no kind of attacks could bewilder them. They were always fixed on Krishna. So we also, being Krishna's children, should be always fixed on Krishna. Never get distracted. Now, one thing which really strikes me here is that Lord Shiva is as good as Krishna, but he is also a demigod. And such a great demigod that Sri Krishna considers him as much as himself. And he feels so fortunate to be part of Krishna's pastimes. He's not proud. He feels to be very great obliged that I have been given a chance to be there. His wife also, Parvati Devi, she appeared as Purnamasi. You know Purnamasi? Who's Purnamasi? Purnamasi is a senior gopi who is the guru of all the gopis, including Yashoda and Kirti Maiya and everybody. So she also has come in the form of a gopi to serve and assist in enhancing the pastimes of Krishna and Radha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's why Shiva came in the dream of that farmer and told that, don't take me out of this place. Because this is the place where I was participant of the pastime of Vrishbhanu Maharaj. So I don't want to leave this place. It's a memorial place for me. Smriti Sthan. So I want to remain here only. That's one thing which is striking. And you have come into 30 people have come here. But all of you remain quiet. You will feel this place has ultimate quietness is there. You can even feel the leaves moving and rubbing at each other. You can hear the sound also. And that gives a very suitable situation to meditate on Radha and Krishna and their pastimes. Another pastime which took place in this area, where this place is, it's called Padarvan. I told you Padarvan. So one time Sri Krishna came here alone with his flute and he started playing flute. As soon as he started playing flute, the clouds started gathering in the sky. As clouds started gathering and small, small droplets of rain started falling, the peacocks came. They felt, what a beautiful atmosphere. Krishna is playing flute, clouds are coming. We should also go. So they went. And they started dancing. Looking at the peacocks dancing, Krishna got very inspired. He started playing flute with great enthusiasm. And with that, it started raining properly. And the looking at the proper rain, the peacocks got more inspired. And Krishna got more inspired to play flute, and they got more inspired to dance, and this went on. And then the flute also became totally wet. How many of you have played flute? What happens when flute gets wet? You can't play only. It's like very difficult. If you dip the flute in water and you start playing, then it becomes disturbance. You cannot play flute properly. But the flute which was attached to the lotus lips of Krishna was playing so beautifully and more beautifully. And this scene was going on full ecstasy. And suddenly gopis came from all sides. And they saw that, look at this. It's raining so heavily. Krishna's clothes are wet. Peacocks are dancing. But still, this flute is going on playing. It's not stopping. What a fortunate person flute is. What karma the flute has performed. What punya karma it has performed. They just see. All the clothes are wet. She also wet. But she's playing and playing and playing. And such beautiful sounds are being created. This is what the gopis commented at this place when they saw Krishna. Who is the mother of flute? Bamboo. Who is the mother of bamboo? Mother Earth. Simple. So the gopis then go on glorifying Mother Earth and the bamboos. See how fortunate the bamboo is. She has given rise to the beautiful thing called flute. And I don't know whether you had come that day, the first day. That the nectar which is there in the lips of Krishna, it is, the flute drinks it while Krishna is blowing through it. And then what sound comes out of that is filled with nectar which moves the hearts of people who are around. And it said the birds and the creepers and everybody who is in the Vrindavan Dham, their heart becomes completely saturated with the nectar which is coming out of the flute which she is drinking from the lips of Krishna. Then the people, living entities like birds who are hearing the flute sound, they become ecstatic, and the nectar then starts flowing through their eyes in the form of tears of love. And these tears of love then fall on the ground, and the earth drinks it. And after drinking, the earth gives it in the form of fresh fruits and flowers and creepers and trees and grains. So what we eat here in Vrindavan Dham is simply nectar. Because the result of nectar, the source is Krishna, and the way the nectar travels from different places and falls on the ground and becomes fruits and flowers and creepers. One time I was sitting in the taxi with Radhana Swami. We were about to leave from Barsana to Kurukshetra and Chandigarh from there. So Vrijbasis had given us rotis to eat. And the roti was made by the grain, that is Gehum, wheat, which has been cultivated in their own land by the Vrijbasis. So their own rice, their own atta, and their own rotis that they made with their own hands. And that was there with us. So first I served Radhana Swami Maharaj, the roti and sabji and everything, in the car only. And then after they finished, Maharaj said, please eat. So I was also eating. And then he said, give that packet of rotis to me. You eat properly. So I took the plate and I was eating. I had one roti. I had second roti. And I was full after that. Because, you know, rotis are, Brajbasi rotis, you know, very big. Braj rotis, very, very big, thick ones. So then I was saying, Maharaj said, take more. So I said, I'm full, Maharaj. Then he started saying that this roti has been made by the Brajbasis, by the wheat that has grown in their own field. And you know, the Brajbasi peacocks have passed their stool on that. The cows and bulls have passed their stool in the ground. And so many birds have passed their stool on that. And cows have passed their urine on that. And the Indra in the Vrindavan Dham has put their rain on that. It is only auspicious and more auspicious and more auspicious. Please eat. And then he served even more. and then 71 more also. He was insisting, glorifying the Braj Bhumi and the sand here and the roti here and the gehu here. So every item here and every atom over here is filled with nectar from Krishna. So we who drink water here and breathe air here, eat food here, drink water here, every single thing is nectar. So this is Padar one. And there is Rabad one ahead of that. Rabad one is a place where Sri Krishna was served Rabdi by Radharani and Gopis. And also Rabad one is a full favorite place for Radharani and Krishna's Rastila also. So very beautiful place. Generally people don't know these places and they don't go also because they are right in the middle of fields and there is no road to go. Only Padyatras come here. People who come walking, they can come here. So it is said that this Rabdi, which Krishna gopis had made for Krishna, they are also mixed with many other things, including chas and poha also. And that Rabdi, they served Krishna and Krishna enjoyed that from the hands of the gopis. So this is Rabad one. And this everything is close to Vrinda, Barsana. There is one place called Jalmahal, which is very close by. But if we have to again and again get in the bus and get out, it will be difficult. So I'll tell you the story here only. This is out of many ponds which is belonging to Vishvanu Maharaj. One of the ponds is Bhanukhar. Bhanukhar is, Bhanu means Vishvanu Maharaj. It is his, one of his personal ponds. But this pond he made in the form of Jal Mahal. Who knows what is Jal Mahal? Anyone knows? Anybody has gone to Rajasthan to see Jal Mahal? Basically, Jal Mahal means a palace which is built inside the water, right in the middle of the water. So he made a big pond here and he made a beautiful, not palace, but a sitting place in the winter seasons. How many of you have gone to Kusum Sarovar? What is Kusum Sarovar basically? It is a pond. But what is there is Jal Mahal, a sitting place also called as Hawa Mahal. Hawa Mahal is another concept. Hawa Mahal is architecturally made in such a way that constantly breeze will keep flowing in that. Even though outside there is no breeze, but inside the Hawa Mahal, the geographical whatever arrangement is such a way calculated, the breeze will constantly keep flowing. Have you seen when you come down to your building, when there is a thorough passage, always breeze is flowing there. On the first floor, no breeze. When you come on the ground floor, the thorough passage is there, narrow passage, and breeze is flowing. That's how the dynamics work. So Kusum Sarovar is Hawa Mahal and this one is Jal Mahal. It's right going in the water, but there is first floor and queens and kings, they come and sit there and enjoy a cool breeze there. So in this place, in one of the millennia, even Radharani had taken birth. It is said, you know, it's called as Kalpa Bhed, in different Kalpa, different places she takes birth. One time she takes birth in Barsana, one time she takes place in Rahul, one time she takes birth in Barsana, one tree is there on the mountain. There also she takes birth. One time she takes birth here in Bhanukhar, like that. So Leela over here is very simple in that pond. One time Radharani and her friends, girlfriends were taking bath in that pond. And from Nandagaon Krishna came. And Sri Krishna was looking very curiously to all the girls who were taking water pastimes, you know. So he asked one of the girls, who is that girl in the center, pointing out at Radharani. And that girl happened to be Lalita. And what is the nature of Lalita? Any idea? Lalita is very aggressive. She is not simple like Radharani. You may ask a simple question to her, but she may answer in a very crooked way. So when Sri Krishna asked Lalita only by mistake, who is this girl? So he said, who are you to ask that question? From where you have come? Your father has not taught you any etiquettes, any culture. You come like this in the middle of the girls and ask who is that girl? Go away from here. So this boy suddenly became very stunned, you know. And Radharani felt very bad. She said that, what wrong he asked? He asked, who are you? Who is this girl? She would have told, who am I? daughter of Prishbhanu and Kirtida. I'm the king's daughter. I'm the princess. What was wrong in that? Why you have to answer like this to him? This is what we have been taught by our mother and father. She got upset. And she was in the middle of a circle of girls who were enjoying in water. So she said, I don't want to be with you. So she left and she went aside with 2-3 of her friends. Like almost like upset and going away. And still Krishna was looking there and watching what's happening among the girls. So the girls were also upset. Suddenly Radharani got angry. Suddenly why Lalita has to answer like this? Suddenly, oh, everything is spoiled. Radharani is upset now. She's gone away. So there was silence for some time. And suddenly Krishna dived in the water. He dove inside the water. He went deep inside the water and came right under the feet of Radharani. And he held her feet under the water. And after holding for some time, everybody was startled. Like suddenly something holds you from below. She was very startled. So after holding for some time and startling them, he just came zzz up right in front of the face of Radharani. She was more startled and just shattered away. And again went underwater, went out and ran away from there. That's all the Leela is of that particular point. But very sweet and very beautiful pastime. And that place also is a place for doing boat Leela, Nauka Vihar, for pastimes. Jalakeli, that means water pastimes, jumping in the water, splashing water, girls taking bath. It's a very private area of, because she's princess, so when princess is taking bath, who, general public can't come there at that time. Shri Krishna would come and sneak in like this. So there are so many beautiful places like this. Any other place you know that you want to know, hear the story? In Barsana, any other places there in your mind which you know but you want to hear the story of? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes, please. More Kutir, yes, very good. Before starting story of More Kutir, I would like you to offer a prayer to Brajeshwar Mahadev. With folded hands, closed eyes, with focused attention, that please give us the dedication that you have to serve and be part of the pastimes of Krishna. Please give us the dedication, attention, focus at the lotus feet of you and Radha and Krishna, so that our life is an offering to their service. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So there are four heads of Brahma. One is Bhanugad, where we have the temple. Have they gone to temple yet? Not yet. Tomorrow we will go in the morning. Another place is Dan Bihari, Dangad. Second is Vilasgad and fourth is Mangad. There also we'll go. So Murkuti is a place which is in between Vilasgad and Mangad. And Radharani is a great lover of Krishna. But she also gets angry in between to increase the love between Radha and Krishna. Our anger is for what? For selfish purposes. Because my desire is not fulfilled. You were the obstacle in fulfilling my desire. That is why I get angry. That is the usual way of getting angry. Radharani's anger on Krishna or whatever is not for herself. It's to increase the love between her and Krishna. To increase the sweetness of the pastime. But there are many reasons why she gets upset. Sometimes Krishna comes late. Sometimes Krishna teases her. Sometimes he really bullies her. So many reasons are there. So one of the reasons is that in one time in Gayavarban, Radha and Krishna, they were dressing one another. Nobody was there. So Radharani did Krishna's Shringar and Krishna did Radharani's Shringar. And then after Shringar was over, Radharani said, now you please describe my Shringar. So Krishna was really wondering how to describe. She's so beautiful. What I can compare with? When we describe, sometimes we compare, na? Oh, nose like a sesame flower, and you know, pink like rose flower, and red like jasmine flower, whatever. So he was looking for everything around. What is as beautiful as comparable to her beauty? So he couldn't see anything on earth. So she was saying, please describe my beauty. So finally saw in the sky. It was about to get night and the moon just started coming up. It was a full moon and he found it very, very beautiful when he saw in the sky. So he was very happy. He told Radharani, your face is just like the moon. So what do you expect? What do you expect when somebody's face is compared to moon? What do you expect? Don't expect anything. It's okay. So what? So what, I look like moon? No. Generally, when a girl's face is compared to the moon, girl becomes very happy. She's very happy. But here exactly opposite thing happened. Instead of becoming happy, she became very upset. She said, what happened? Why you're upset? The moon is so beautiful. You should be happy. She said, no. I will tell you the reasons why I don't like to be compared with moon. You'll write down? Some of you write down, you will remember the reasons. She said that the moon has many dots. Or dag. Dag ko kya bolte English mein? Many spots. They're not beautiful at all. Ugly spots. You can see in the moon in the sky, no? You can also see. It's never like milky white completely. It has always got some blackish, grayish dots on that. My beauty has no spots. My beauty is spotless, number one. Second, she said that the moon always gets eclipsed in the course of time. Sometime in between it gets eclipsed. Our beauty, my beauty can never get eclipsed. It's always eternally growing. Third reason, she said that moon is always reducing in size, increasing in size, reducing in size, increasing in size. That means moon's beauty is declining and increasing, declining and increasing. So it's increasing, it looks beautiful because it has declined somewhere. That's why the increasing is beautiful. But my beauty never declines. There's nothing like waxing and waning in my beauty. And the moon is always waxing and waning. Anybody of you know why the moon is waxing and waning? Anybody of you know? Yes. Because one time Ganesh ji ate a lot of prasad. Already he is heavy. Big tummy, lambodar. And at that day he was really, really heavy because he had eaten a lot of that food that day. So he was talking like an intoxicated person. And after talking, he was walking like a very intoxicated person. And after walking, he slipped. And he fell down. And that time, Chandra, moon, laughed at him. One should not laugh when somebody falls down. One should go to give support and help the person to rise from the fallen situation. But moon just laughed spontaneously. So Ganapati cursed him that you will get TB, tuberculosis, which is in Sanskrit called as Raja Yakshma. Raja Yakshma is the name of TB, actually. As a result of that, the moon was full moon, started becoming smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and almost about to disappear. That time he was very sad that he was almost disappearing in existence. So somebody told him to go and take shelter of Lord Shiva. Then he went into shelter of Lord Shiva. And which was that place he took shelter of Lord Shiva? That is Udupi in South India. So Lord Shiva nursed him. And by his nursing, he stopped there only. He didn't disappear. And then he was given boon again that you will grow again. But this boon can't be false. So when you grow to full size, again you will start reducing. So at least instead of reducing and disappearing forever, you have some chance to again grow. So that's how then moon was placed by Lord Shiva on his head. That's why that Shiva is called as Chandra Mauleshwara in Udupi. This is the first original temple in Udupi, is Chandra Mauleshwara. After that, Ananteshwara came. After that, Udupi Krishna came. Chandra Mauleshwara is the most original temple in Udupi. So, moon is reducing in size. Our beauty, my beauty doesn't reduce in size. How many reasons now over? Fourth reason, she said that moon is paraprakashit. That means, what do you call it in English? It gets light from somebody else, borrowed light from sun. Moon gives the reflected light of sun. Is that true? She said, my prakash, my light which comes from me, my effulgence is original, it's my own. It's not borrowed by somebody. Then she said, I am a very chaste lady and I am only dedicated to you, O Krishna. Nobody else is there in my mind. But moon is surrounded by many stars and many stars are trying to have some relationship with moon. So moon's chastity is also questionable. My chastity is unquestionable. So you can't compare with me to moon. And thus she went on and on. She told, last reason, I can accept all other reasons to be tolerable. But the last reason I cannot tolerate. Because my rival is called as Chandravali. Chandravali is left wing gopi. Radharani is right wing gopi. And right wing has many gopis, left wing has many gopis. And Chandravali is an arch rival of Radharani. So she said that in Chandra, there is a half name of Chandravali in that, so I can't tolerate. And that what she, when she said that, last reason, ki in when you say Chandra, you are calling half Chandravali, already half name of Chandravali is included in that. So I just cannot tolerate you comparing with Chandra who has semblance with Chandravali. This she said and she just went from there in most anger. So kya bolte na ki lene ke dene pad gaye. She wanted to glorify her, so he thought it's a beautiful thing to compare with her is moon. So I compared with moon and then instead of pleasing her, she became very unhappy and she went away. And she went on the mountain. Krishna went behind her, started pleading her and she would not listen. And as and when he would go to her, she would climb up. And then he would come back and meet Lalita. And Lalita, what to do? She said, go try. So Lalita started trying. As Lalita went, she further went up. Again Lalita came back and told Krishna, she is not listening. Krishna said, go try please. Lalita again went, again she climbed up. And like that Lalita was doing up and down and up and down, up and down and up and down. And Krishna was saying, go again and again. Finally she said, how many times I should go? I am tired now going up and down. You go, you say go, she also says go. You sent me and she also sends me away. What should I do? And then she finally reaches top of the mountain. And then Lalita took Krishna with her finally. And Radharani was very upset, crying, tears of anger. Krishna, his one hand was held by Lalita. And she held one hand of Radharani and tried to unite them. And she, Radharani would reject that hand. I don't want to. And then she said, I don't want to see. Remove all black things from me. Remove the bumblebee who's black. Remove everything black. Keep your hairs tied up. I don't want to see the black hair also. Anything black, I don't want to see and remember. She wanted to just keep everything out of her sight. Whatever is black, assembling with Krishna. Then what to do? Then Krishna was crying. Then Krishna removed his peacock feather crown and put at the feet of Radharani. Still she is not giving up anger. Then he bowed down to her, put his head on her lotus feet. Still she did not budge. Then he cried and he washed her lotus feet with the tears flowing from his eyes and requesting at the same time, please forgive me. I will never ever compare yourself with the moon. But she would not listen. Then like it became a very hopeless situation that there is no hope only. Then what happened? Then suddenly Radharani was angry only looking at that side because Lalita would bring Krishna on from this side. She would look on this side. And then Lalita would bring her from this side, him from this side, and she would look on this side. That means there is no scope only. You do whatever you want. I am not going to budge. So then Krishna started really crying and crying and crying. Started rolling in the dust, which is wet with his own tears, under his feet, under her feet. He was rolling and rolling, pleading, please forgive me. She would not still listen. And then suddenly Lalita whispered something in the ears of Krishna and disappeared from there. And suddenly, Krishna stopped crying and also went away from there. And Radharani kept sitting over there, in anger. Then, little away from that, on a mountain peak, one peacock came. And the peacock started dancing. As soon as the peacock started dancing, the clouds came together. A little sweet drizzle, and the sweet, soft sound of clouds bursting with one another. The peacock got more inspired, and peacock started dancing. And then Lalita went to Radharani and said, "Oh, Radharani, you're still angry? See how beautiful peacock has come there. See how nicely he's dancing. You should look at him." She would not look at him. Then still she said, no, you should forget Krishna. He is a rascal number one. But what is wrong in peacock? Peacock is dancing, you should appreciate. Then she slowly, reluctantly turned. And like sidelong glance, she looked at him. And then she was very happy to see him. And then she was like, "Oh, wow." And she turned fully. Started looking straight on the peacock. And as soon as the peacock saw Radharani turn to him, he got more inspired and started dancing. And looking at him, more peacocks joined him and started dancing. And there was a big parade of many peacocks dancing very nicely and, you know, very rhythmically and very beautifully. And then after some time, the peacocks were dancing, all the peahens came. And they joined each peacock. And this peacock was single. All the peacocks were joined with peahens, and they were dancing in pairs. And Radharani was like more and more getting engrossed in the dance. And she was acting so beautifully. Suddenly she got up and joined the peacock who came in the beginning, alone, who was alone, and joined him as peahen. She started dancing in the role of peahen, not as a peahen. She didn't become peahen, but started dancing as peahen. And they dance for a long time. It just, everything became so ecstatic because she joined. All the gopis started playing with what? Bangles and the ankle bells. You're doing only music like this, with legs like this and hands like this. And they went on and on. And finally, they took a very embracing pose. You know, embracing pose, how the peacocks and peahen. Like full-blown, grown peacock feather joining each other's feathers like this. They made a big circle like this. This is the way peacocks almost embrace, you know. So when peahen and peacock embrace like this, at that point, Radharani understood that peacock is Krishna. Till that time, she didn't realize. By the time she realized Krishna, that he is Krishna, she was not angry anymore. So that is Morkuti. That is the place where this happened. She was observing from Mangad, then she joined. But this is not the only pastime which takes place in Morkuti. That is one pastime with which Morkuti began as Morkuti. But later on, every single day, the peacocks would come and dance there. Like for example, someday Radharani and Krishna, Radharani would bring her peahens and Krishna would bring her peacocks. And they would play music of bangles and ankle bells, and their peacocks and peahens will dance as per their direction. And that's how everybody will come and watch, and they will be very happy. Other times, Sri Krishna and Radharani would come together, and the breeze would come and blow away their upper cloth. It's there on the body only still, but it's like flowing in the sky. It's such a breeze. And the nice weather would come, would start drizzling, clouds would start gathering. And they would get inspired to dance. And they would dance like peacock and peahen. And then gopis and gopas also, gopis only would join and they will dance. And then peacocks and peahen also will dance. But basic hero and heroine will be Krishna and Radha, who were dancing like peacock and peahen. Another time, Krishna would become peacock and Radharani would become peahen. And then they would dance. So variety of peacock peahen pastimes eternally, continuously and daily taking place over there. That is Morkuti. And in Morkuti, of late, like maybe say 100-year-old story, there was one blind Baba there who was a pure devotee of the Lord, who was blind but a great devotee, so much great devotee that by his power of devotion, are you all hearing? By the power of all his devotion, one lion had become his disciple. and the lion would stay with him. And the sadhu would hang one bag in his neck. Those handles in the bag, put around his neck. And this lion would go into Manpur and he would beg Madhukri. Can you imagine? Somebody rings your bell, ting tong. And you go and open the door, inside a lion on the door. How will you feel? But they would not feel like that because he was a daily customer, daily beggar. He would come and make some sound and the lady would very peacefully come out and put rotis inside the bag and he would go to the next house. After the bag is full, he would go back to the Murkuti and his sadhu would take out the bead bag and offer the rotis to Krishna and then he would eat and remaining rotis, the lion would eat. That kind of a sadhu he was and that kind of disciple this lion was. So one day, this Baba had a dream. And in the dream, Radharani came, Krishna came, and Radha and Krishna danced as peacock and peahen in the dream of that old man. And he was a blind man. And they danced for long time, and finally they took the pose like this. You know, Krishna like this, and Radharani like this. As all the feathers spread, everything like that, and that's the last pose, like that's ending pose. You dance like anything, but finally you end like this. And then everybody claps. Like that, they posed and they ended their dance. Then Radharani came in front and told this old Baba that I want you to paint this picture of this particular pose that we had in the end. So he said, I am a blind man, how will I paint? He said, no. Radharani said, by my mercy, you will be able to paint. Get the material. So he woke up from the dream, went to the market, got the material, and through the dream, Radharani inspired him, guided him to paint that picture of Radha and Krishna in the mood of peacock and peahen. And that picture is there on the altar of that Murkuti temple. There is no other deity there. That very picture which was painted by the old blind man is still there on the altar being worshipped by the devotees over there. See, Murkuti Dham Ki. Murkuti is another place, is also a place where the gopas go. The gopal, the cowherd boys, they go. And when Radharani takes bath in the pond below, what is the pond below of Murkuti? It is called Ghaivar Kund. Very beautiful pond. Again, surrounded by very auspicious trees. Very deep, very small, but very, very deep and very well organized. Well-structured and beautiful kund. And with chosen 64 girlfriends, Radharani every day takes bath there in a very private, secluded area. And when she's taking bath with her chosen 64 girlfriends, the cowherd boys go on the top of Murkuti and from top they throw laddus on them and they disturb them. Nice, na? Laddus. This is traditional way of disturbing girls, not throwing eggs and tomatoes. Hare Krishna. Sri Murkuti Dham Ki Jai Ho. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.